John chapter 7, verse number 14. John 7, verse number 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, and whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keep the law? Why go ye about to kill me?" The people answered and said, "Thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me, because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." What I want to take a look at here and consider, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ has healed a man on the Sabbath. And the Jews are all tore up at him about it, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious elite and leaders of the day. They're beside themselves because he's broken the Sabbath. He's taken this to them about circumcision, said if circumcision falls, the day that the child, the male child is to be circumcised, falls on the Sabbath day, you go ahead and circumcise him. But that work is being done, and in and of itself breaks the law. And so he gives them that example, and we back up here. In verse number 16, this is the point that I want us to gain from this passage, and then one other thing. "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." That's Jesus Christ speaking, isn't it? Amen. Jesus Christ is saying, "My teaching is not of me." And I think that he's saying that from the standpoint of the Lord Jesus Christ's humanity. This doctrine has not come from this man, but it's come from the one that sent him, right? God the Father. Okay? "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." And there's an example in that for us, isn't it? Our doctrine is not ours. Our doctrine we get from the Lord. It's his doctrine. And from the standpoint of humanity, the Father gave the Son the doctrine. The Son abided by the doctrine, and the Son has passed that doctrine on to you and me, especially here in his church. You know, and that's the context that we see. "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine." Then that word doctrine is talking about teaching. Teaching, instruction, to be able to be taught, to learn. Disciples learn the doctrine of their teacher. Okay? "If any man will do his will, the Father's will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." He said, you evaluate me, my life, and what I do, the Lord Jesus Christ says. You do that, you're going to find out that it's not coming from me, it's coming from the Father. And the thing is they threw it in the Lord Jesus Christ's face that they held to the Father, what God Almighty said. And he said, if you'll search this out and you'll listen to it and really hear it, you'll understand it's coming from the one that you claim. The Lord Jesus Christ, no freelancer, is he? Nor should you and I be. We're not to be freelancers in any way. "He that speaketh of himself," verse 18, "seeketh his own glory." And that's the truth. You hear a man talk about himself, doesn't matter whatever the setting would be, if a man's talking about himself, he's seeking about his glory. If a man's got to remind everybody else about the things that he does, he's seeking his own glory. If a man is trying to make a legacy for himself, he's seeking his own glory. It's just the way it is. You can't make anything else out of it. Okay? It's just the way it is. "He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." Why? Because that's not a natural thing. You know what we naturally are caught up in? "I and me" are the biggest words of my vocabulary. That's what I naturally have. I and me. Two biggest words in my vocabulary, naturally. But if the Lord Jesus Christ says, take a look at my ministry, take a look at what I'm preaching, take a look at, and I keep pointing you to the Father, don't I? I keep pointing you to what the Father wills, what the Father has done, what the Father has given, what God Almighty has purposed, okay? Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is God. We know that. That's the reason that he can heal in the first place, and that's the reason he can do it on the Sabbath in the second place, because he's the one that made the rules. He doesn't have to abide by the rules. He made the rules for you and me, for his nation, for his people, and for mankind. He wants to change something, he can change it. But he didn't change anything. He didn't change anything. He abided by it too. And so he says here, one that's not speaking about himself, but speaking about the one that sent him, that's a true witness, and there's no unrighteousness in him. And then he goes on, did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? He said, you're hanging me for healing a man on the Sabbath day, and you think that the Lord Jesus Christ strained much to heal that man? No. But yet you'll go about the circumcision process where the parents will get the baby ready. They'll pack him down to the place where the priest is at, and they'll get it all ready. And maybe he's in a bad mood. Maybe he's fussy. He gets in a lather. They get the instruments out. They go ahead and circumcise him. He squalls and carries on, and mama's got to take him. And they've got to take care of the wound that leaves, and then take care of that medically. And then mama's got to console him and take care of him and all that. There's a lot of labor that goes on to circumcise a male child on the Sabbath day, and you're getting on me for healing a man? Why? Because their doctrine was not that of the Lord, was it? But their doctrine was their own. And so he's taking them to task. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, you're familiar with this. Brother Chad preached a message about this here not too long ago, and I don't want to re-preach his message, but I want us to take and put these things together because it's true, and it's the way it is. Verse number 3, we'll look at this verse first, and then we're going to come back and pick up these other verses before that. For the time, 2 Timothy 4, verse 3, if you got your Bible, open it up and look at this for yourself, because if you're a child of God, member of this church, you need to know where you stand and what your doctrine is. You can't get it from me. Now you hear that? I'm here to teach you, and I'm here to be a pastor over. I'm here to preach to you. But I can't take it and plug it in you. You've got to get it and bring it to you. Okay? I can only do so much. For the time will come, or as the brother very aptly put it, has come. It has come. When they will not endure a sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. The time will come when they will not endure. That word endure means to hold up oneself against. They want to get away from it. They won't draw near to it. They want to get away from it. They don't want to endure sound doctrine. They want to get away from it. They won't hold up to themselves or put up with or bear with, or as that word said, you know, we say that here in this region, say, well, they just won't suffer such a thing. Well, they won't suffer that, won't suffer this, won't suffer sound doctrine. Now, what that word sound is talking about, it's talking about being healthy. It's health. It's a doctrine that's the right way. And you know what? You and I have no doctrine of our own that we can call healthy. Amen? That's right. Because our doctrine's rotten. But the Lord's doctrine is good. Okay? It's pure. It's right. And so this healthy doctrine, this sound and health, to be well, to be uncorrupt, to be safe and sound, we use that, arrive safe and sound. You want some doctrine that's safe and sound? Don't go after man's doctrine. Don't go after what you think. Go after what the Lord says. sound doctrine, and that word, people fret about it, we tell about it, and we correct, we help people to try to understand it. Doctrine is instruction, learning, teaching, receiving of principles, concepts, words, things that'll do us good. Teaching. You, when you went to school, you learned the doctrine of mathematics. And without it, at this point in your life, you would be hurting. That doctrine of mathematics, that doctrine of English, it was teaching, the teaching of it. There was a day you didn't know it, and then in the course of your learning and your studies, there was one that taught it to you, and you took it, and you received it to yourself, and then you've been using it ever since. Well, spiritually, the same thing applies. We need the doctrine of the Lord and all the different areas and things that we have in our life. We need to take that to ourselves so we can be helped and benefited. Because remember, our doctrine stinks. 1 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to stay here in Timothy for a bit. And you're familiar with these passages. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 8, but we know that the law is good if any man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. So now sound doctrine is sounding like in this passage, it's become a standard, because it is. It's teaching that evidences and witnesses and establishes a standard, because what's that passage saying? If sound doctrine here and says this, and then whatever's being done is against it, it's wickedness. And it doesn't line up with sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is what you and I need to have so we can know what's right and wrong. It is sound doctrine for a man and a woman under the leadership of the Lord to be married and have a home and have children. That's sound doctrine. Wicked doctrine is for a man and a woman to shack up and live together for a while. See if the relationship works out, and then maybe get married later on, okay? And I'll tell you right now, that example has no connection to anything other than the example I've given you, okay? Understand that. I don't give that example by design. I'm telling you, it is sound doctrine in the home and the family and in for marriage and for children and for the filling of the earth with boys and girls, with children and that. That's sound doctrine, because that's what God says as an example. But if it's not according to sound doctrine, it's sin. Because it's by that that the Lord, the teaching of the Lord, that he establishes the dividing line of truth. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter, who's speaking? The Spirit, capital S. That means God. We could say, and not do the scripture any disservice, now God Almighty speaketh that. Same thing. Now Jesus Christ says, now the Father says, okay, our Heavenly Father says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. He goes here in verses 3, 4, and 5 to mention something that they were dealing with in that day. We'll not take any time to read that. We'll skip to verse 6. But if thou, Timothy, put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. The doctrine you've got, Timothy, you teach it. You pass it on. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. An example, right? In word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation. Give attendance to doctrine, Timothy, to teaching, the teaching of the Lord. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. It be a witness, a word of God, and the doctrine of the Lord coming into him, and then he taking that and spreading it abroad in the place where the Lord's called him to be. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. There's that word doctrine being teaching being mentioned again. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. How? Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. What he was taught, he's to teach others, and it'll help him, and it'll help them. Because what's going to happen, verse number one, there'll be those that'll depart from the faith. They're going to give heed to other things, other doctrine, other words, other spirits. Try the spirits. Does it not tell us that maybe Galatians? Try the spirits. See whether they are of God. Not every spirit out there flying around. Not every doctrine out there flying around is of the Lord. Try it. Try it against what? What the book says. What the Word of God says. There'll be those that will depart from the faith. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Back there, we'll pick up this verse that we didn't read. And we'll go ahead and verse number 1, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, the saved and the lost, the saved and the unsaved, at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Amen. It's by the word that we're going to have some sound doctrine. It isn't going to come by osmosis or by going out and sitting in the moonlight and sucking it up through your hair follicles or something. It's not going to come that way, is it? It's going to come by what God has delivered to us and us taking it and hearing it and believing it and lining up with it and receiving it. It's one of the ways. That's one of the pieces and parts that we receive Christ. We receive Christ in salvation. How do we do so? Because we believe him. Right? We believe him that we're guilty. We believe him that we're sinners. We believe him that he's the Savior. My Savior. That's how we receive him. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, which were born not by man's device or by the flesh, but born of God. Because he uses his word, uses his spirit to give that new birth. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Because the time has come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Okay? There'll be those that won't take the reproof. They won't take the rebuke. They won't take the exhortation. They won't take the doctrine. But they're going to rather, after their own lust, heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Get a man that'll tell them what they want to hear. A man that'll concede and say, oh, honey, it'll be okay. You can live in your wickedness and sin and hardness and device, and the Lord God will forgive you. That's what what's going on. That's what's going on. Jude, verse number 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. It was once delivered to the saints. And you and I haven't been saved and in the Lord's church, and it being passed down by the teaching. I mean, none of us have anything that we haven't been taught, do we? Right. That's how we got to what we have, is we've been taught it by the Spirit of God and looking in His Word, or we've been taught it by our brothers and sisters in Christ, been taught it by our pastor, been taught it by our Sunday school teacher, right? We've been taught it by ministries of other churches, right, in printing or radio broadcast or tape or CD ministries, right? We've been taught it somehow, some way. We didn't just have it ourselves. And having been taught that from those that were before us, because that's what they were to do, that's the commission of the church, is to teach every man, right? And then those that believe, baptize them. And then teach to observe all things. So that having been passed down here to you and me, we're to earnestly contend for it. It means, like, get ready to stand for it. Now, our battle isn't a physical battle, is it? All right, it's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual warfare, but we do need to contend. I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. You may have some opposition in doing so, but still need to go ahead and earnestly contend. Go get in the struggle for it. Understand there may be a struggle for it. Amen. Just because it's easy and nice and smooth and easy as pie, it sometimes doesn't mean it'll always be that way. Right. Earnestly contend for the faith. Earnestly contend for the doctrine. 2 Timothy, back in 2 Timothy chapter 3. This doctrine, this word, this faith for which we are to contend, it is right out of the Scripture. It is right out of the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. 2 Timothy 3:16. You know this. By inspiration of God, God breathed God's words, God's doctrine. By inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine. There's that doctrine again, that teaching. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. How to do right. How to be pleasing to the Lord. Because again, remember, as a child, we've been saved. We don't serve and look to please God to get on His good side so He'll take us on to glory. It's beyond that. We've been born again. It's a different relationship than that. I know there can be, we can fall into a trap and a lack of understanding, of a point of weakness, a point of immaturity, where we do what we do and don't do what we do to keep God off our back. Wrong attitude. Wrong understanding of what the Lord wants for us. Our understanding should be we want to please our Father. We're children of the King. Do you think the Lord Jesus Christ served the Father and was obedient to Him grudgingly? He counted it a privilege to serve His Heavenly Father. It was a blessing. It's a blessing to be set free from sin and the thinking in the way of this mind. That's a blessing. Sometimes it can be that we've been captured. We've been chained up to serve the Lord. We've been set free to serve the Lord. You think in heaven and in glory, when we're there with the Lord, you think it's all just going to be like trudging lockstep? I think some people think that. There will be another day in glory. You know, I wonder. Huh? We've been set free. Hallelujah, brother. Another day in glory. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? Here's a clarifying point, that the man of God may be mature. Grow up. Are you growing? Have you grown up from last year? We all should have grown some more from last year. Not an attitude of, well, I've heard that before and I've arrived. No. That the man of God, we need that doctrine, we need that word, we need that scripture given by God, God-breathed, for the teaching of God, for the correction and instruction that we need, that we might grow up for the Lord and in the Lord, and have some equipment to do some good for the sake and cause of the kingdom. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Amen. John chapter 8. The Lord brought this to mind the other night when Brother Larry was preaching, and I mentioned it the other night, this passage. And he brought the message on Look Where You're Standing. It's a blessed message. I'm thankful that the Lord gave him that for us. It was very timely, very good. Listen to it on the archive if you weren't able to be here. And listen to it again if you were here. But listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ here says. Verse number 30 of John 8. As he spake these words, many believed on him. He said, I believe on him. I believe him. I believe him. That's what they said. That was their testimony. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. If you hang on to, and if you seek to pursue what I have said, and what was it that the Lord said when he was saying, and it's not good English, but when he was speaking, when he was uttering those words, what was he giving forth? His doctrine. And remember, you and I need that sound doctrine, because our doctrine stinks. If you continue in my word, then it'll be proved that you're my disciples indeed. What's he say? Indeed, the faith that you proclaim will be noted and known to be true. Isn't that what he's saying? If you continue in my word, you've been touched and you've been stirred by my word, you say. Well, if you continue in my word, it'll be manifested that it's so. Salvation is a visitation of the Lord. But I tell you what, folks, it's manifested and proven out in this life. We've got a cheapening of salvation where it's just like raise your hand, sign a card, say I do or whatever, and then that's taken care of. We run into them on visitation every time. I was saved at 12 years old. Saved 12. What you doing right now for the Lord? Well, we don't go to church anywhere. I asked the man, I said, have you not considered about the scripture that the Lord took the time to save your soul and then built his church when he said to his disciples, come follow me, and you're left out? Well, there's a bunch of hypocrites down there. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's the reason we need it. Services and preaching and the Word of God and all that. Drive that stuff out of us. Maybe pray the Lord would convict those that are not saved and save them. Like there's no hypocrites out in the world. Yeah. Hypocrites abound if you got people around. That even rhymes. But that's the way it is amongst us. Right? Wasn't the Lord dealing with them there? We took a look in John 7. They were being hypocritical themselves, accusing him of not keeping the law and not even facing up where they break it and break it and break it, and then they won't even consider who he is. He's the one that gave them the law. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you know, it says there, I got to look at it close, it's a semicolon. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It says, if it's manifested that you continue in my word, yeah, it'll be manifested that you're my disciple indeed. And in doing so, you'll find the truth. And you'll enjoy the truth and my word and my doctrine. And you know what that'll do for you? It'll set you free. Liberty in Christ. Liberty to serve. Liberty to enjoy the blessings of the God in the remainder of the life that you have from the time the Lord saves you. And then enter into the joy of the Lord at the end of our lives or when the Lord calls us out of here. Isn't that a blessing? A blessing. A blessing indeed. My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me.